You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Good news, everyone!
I'm your host, Willie!
And I'm Spoon!
With musical guest, Daniel!
Shout out to fucking Don Pardo. God rest his zombie bones. Parentheses toast.
God rest his zombie bones.
God, he's been off SNL for 10 years almost, probably.
I know, and it's been Daryl Hammond.
Oh shit, is it really? It is, isn't it?
I believe so, because I think the other person who used to do those types of things was the guy who's on Fallon's show. What's his name? The sidekick from Fallon? Higgins?
I don't know.
He got glasses. Like I know. He's cool, though. He's funny.
It makes me think of Rod guys, Roddy from The Price is Right. Rod Roddy. Do you not remember every time you were sick watching The Price is Right?
I literally never did that. I literally never did that.
Studios.
I was not allowed to watch TV while sick, and I only got sick maybe two times in all 13 of my years at Burris.
What kind of gulag were you raised?
Dave Calvin's gulag.
You were sick. What type of Hungarian?
Because we weren't allowed to have fun.
Filled stew.
You had to suffer. You could read a book.
What's up with all these books? Still one of the best lines from that
so
entire
good.
Show.
Guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today we are covering season 7, episode 2,
in the
Gabada Elite. Yes.
In a Gabada Delila, baby. You know what it's from, right?
Yeah, in the Garden of Eden, baby. The fucking, is it Jimi Hendrix or something?
Oh, is it? I was thinking it was Aerosmith.
It's someone. Because that's also the one that there's a Simpsons episode where the organist is playing that song for like hours or something. It's like a Halloween episode, I think.
Yes. But yeah, and like Bart changes the music in the Garden of Eden.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Also don't know how, but that somehow had a Spanish accent to it. Dun, 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 dun.
That sounded New York to me.
Da-dong, dong, hey!
Da-dong.
Joe Valino first recorded it. Frankie Vaughn was the one who gave it popularity. And then Gary Miller also released one with Dick James and Paul Raven. These all sound like made-up names, so I'm just going to stop talking.
Dick James? Come on.
Dick James?
What are you, a cop?
What are you, Rick James' twin brother?
Dick. I didn't want to be known as Rick James, so I go by Dick.
The very boring white English twin of Rick James.
Exactly. He's not a vibrant musician from the 70s and 80s. He is a
he's a
boring
tax collector.
He's an actuary from Oxfordshire.
Oxfordshire.
Anyway, guys, welcome back to the podcast. We here at the World of Tomorrow, we are philanthropists. We are criminals. We are artists. We are shipwrights. Basically, anything we put our mind to is someone who fixes a ship. They write the ship.
Oh, a shipwright. I've never heard that. I may have heard it, but oh my God, I never knew that. That's a great word.
As opposed to a ship wrong.
You know, yeah. I had something and I lost it.
I had something and I lost it. I
couldn't get it there.
No, all that to say is that, you know, the people here that we employ at this podcast, because of course this is a business, you know, and we hire everyone and they are local and everyone does have to come into the office. We say no remote.
Ugh.
I know that Petey and I have talked about how we record these remotely, but the majority of the work isn't actually what you hear. It's what goes on to facilitate what you hear. And so
yeah.
We do run a business. And I just wanted to celebrate our employees. They are all multi-talented people, and they really come together to bring this mission and to, you know, get this to all 10 listeners out there.
I think we're at 14 now.
It's over 60 people that work for us, and that requires...
that we do pay to listen.
So that's like a 6-to-1 ratio of employees to listeners. That's pretty good. In the world of podcast metrics, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good D to Z.
Joe Rogan. Yeah, sure. Joe Rogan has like 50 million listeners, but he employs over 2 billion people.
Mm-hmm. Worldwide, too. We're talking both hemispheres, baby.
Probably some people on the moon, too.
Well, technically it's illegal. So that's illegal.
Well, and Petey, you did hear that they bought our old podcast. One of our previous ventures was called Moon News.
Oh my God, I loved Moon. That was like literally 9 years ago, 10 years ago, 15.
I think it was 2017, 2016.
I think it was like 2015, 2016.
No, because it was 2016 because I moved here in 2016.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So it was like halfway. But I did find those. Remember I sent you the clip? I sent you the clip.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to our employees. This year for their holiday bonus, we gave them each one of those like bins of cookies. That's usually where sewing things are kept. So, of course, we did throw out all the cookies and fill it with odds and ends of sewing materials. And everyone loved it.
Yeah.
Everyone loved it.
Oh, I want a cookie.
Did someone say cookie?
With a name like Smucker. Oh, my God. I did that. By the way, I did that today. I had a mouthful of – we had Valentine's chocolates at the office now, and I ate one. I was trying to tell a story, and I was like
– I'm like, so there's
– chocolate is one that does that because it's like thick and creamy. It just stays in you.
So what'd you do then?
Sorry. Last one.
Who broke the good toaster?
That was coming. Wait, so what are we getting our employees again? What's going on? What have you seen?
We already got them the sewing kit in a cookie box. They loved it, especially because someone's been going around cutting holes in everyone's pants, and we don't know who the phantom hole cutter is. But anyway, everybody needed a sewing kit for that. So
true. You gotta have
what else are bosses for? But you know, potentially being the one behind a conspiracy to cut holes in pants so people are actually appreciative of the sewing kit you got them last year, but they didn't like, so they threw it away. So you took that out of the trash can and repackaged it.
Exactly.
And then hired someone off the street to come in and snip holes in everybody's pants. I mean...
I would like to point out this is also from our Midwestern roots as well, because our parents did not throw out our holy pants. They patched them right up. They were still good. Put a little patch on it. Sew it together. You're fine. Don't worry about it. We're not spending extra $14 at the good
on jeans from Old Navy.
The Old Navy, yeah. I fucking love Old Navy. I told you my story last time, right? How I spent $180 at Old Navy and walked out like a king with literally 6 pairs of pants.
That is amazing.
Oh my God, I'm wearing a pair.
I will
right
say the only other place that you can do that potentially, and it happens way less often, Uniqlo. Because when you get the sale at Uniqlo, it's fat. PHAT fat.
So nice. Oh my gosh. That was the other place I go for pants, Uniqlo. They're so nice. Like the ones I got with you, I still wear them.
I love Uniqlo. Them.
I love Uniqlo's pants. I'm all about them. Some of their stuff is a little less quality. You just have to keep one Ojo out. But for the most part, it's really good.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Keep one Ojo out.
Not Cajon, an Ojo.
No.
Although to be fair, some of our employees did have one or two cajones slipping out when they had holes in their pants.
That's true. That's true.
That was a good time.
But you know what? We didn't blame them. We said, hey, don't worry. You can just use the breastfeeding room for the rest of the day. We don't want to see your cajones.
I encouraged it. I encouraged everyone.
Well, that's because you
let it fly.
That's because you put the camera in the breastfeeding room.
Yeah. Well, the we have to,
I did
we have
it.
To make ends meet.
I didn't know how it worked. It was for science.
It makes me think of Hot Rod when he walks in on Kevin, his brother, and the two dogs are humping, and he's like, "Oh, sorry, that's just
something for mom."
Yeah, mom loves that stuff.
So good. What a good movie.
Speaking of good, should we talk about other good things? Like, I don't know, maybe some...
Good news, everyone!
Okay. I'll go first.
Yeah, okay. I was like, the last few episodes, you've been waiting for me to go first when you always go first, so I'm just used to that.
What if we have the same good news? Well, you never know. It's like trivia. We might have the same questions. We might have the same good news. We are technically... Oh, what do you call that? Not fraternal, not... what's
sorority twins.
Sorority, what's it called? Attached to the hip. Conjoined twins. Yes, correct. We're in two.
But we're attached by at the soul.
Aw. That was so beautiful.
But no, next week we are having a doctor sever that union, and we will be going our separate ways.
Exactly. So my good news is that speaking of my shopping habits, which I would like to say I never go out and like go to a store to spend money. Like I don't like going to Old Navy. The last time I went clothes shopping was with you in 2021, and then it was 2024.
Like when we went to go get your shoes or whatever.
Exactly.
Remember we were at that like was it like an Aldo or something in Emeryville?
Yeah.
You were like trying to explain to this woman like how flat your feet are, and she was just like ha ha ha, and you're like, no, I don't think you get it, bitch.
No. I clap like a seal with my feet.
Right.
So flat.
And you can like see, because you always like do that thing where you like splay your toes out and you can like see your pinky toe sort of like poking through.
I do that. And it pops through all my shoes.
Right. And yeah, that's where the hole is on all PD shoes is on the pinky toe.
Because my flat fucking feet splay my little toesies out. My little
toesies. You're like... I don't want any arch support because that support is really just causing me pain.
It hurts. It's awful. We were supposed to go to the K1 go-karting, you know, way down yonder by the airport. And the lady was literally, I've never been there. It was like, neither have I, but it was like the
go-karting DMV. Sounds she so fun.
The most unhelpful person. We were like, she's like, did you sign up? We're like, yeah, we signed up on the computer. Which package? We're like, we just signed up. We didn't sign up for a package. We just checked in.
Right.
Okay. When did you want to go? We're like, we'd like to go now.
Right now.
The next race is at 2 p.m. And she's like, we're like, okay, do you have anything later? She's like, no. I was like, well, then why even fucking ask us? So basically it ended up, we were so hungry. We were like, we're not sitting here at this like eating.
You had to eat a car.
Reheated pizza. Yeah, we had to eat a coat. We had to eat it. The tires were the worst part. We left and went to Hot Pot, but then we went to Target. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you cannot get this little Christian gallon of Target without breaking the bank.
Okay? I know, seriously.
So I ended up, because I needed pillows, and I've needed pillows for a while because I had, and this is going to be contradictory, I had Casper pillows, and literally I washed them. And I washed them like 3 weeks ago, and I started like coughing, and I was like, this isn't like a smoker's cough, this is a weird cough, but whatever. So then I go to like
I know what a smoker's cough is. I have that.
I know
too.
My standard smoker's cough.
Like I have that too.
Yeah, I've got a normal smoker's cough, but I don't have like the like throat tingle, like, you know, when
there's like weird. Asbestos in the Casper pillow or something.
There was, I took my pillowcases off to do my to clean, and I clean my sheets pretty frequently, but I took my pillowcases off to clean them as well, and I do that pretty frequently as well, but it was moldy. It was literally mold on it. Because the wash, and it got there. I was like, I dried the fuck out of this.
Oh my God, that's
so
terrifying.
It's festering in there.
You have cordyceps, like from the show that's based on a video game.
And you know what? Now you do too, because we're soulmates.
Which is maybe based on a graphic novel? Is the game based on a graphic novel?
That would not surprise me if it was. I think it probably is, actually. That sounds familiar. But anyways, I'm full of cordyceps, actually, you know what? I'm going to call you out here. Those are... two different phylums and kingdoms. Mold and fungus are two different kingdoms.
Which kingdom is the one that had Caesar?
That would be Kingdom Romania, Phylum Jackassicus, and Chordata.
Okay. Real question, though. They both have spores? Does mold have spores?
I think so. Yeah, I would say so.
So mushrooms are their own kingdom, right? So where does mold
fungi come in? Fungi is its own kingdom. Let's see here.
That's what I meant. What did I say?
You said that, right? Fungi's a candy. Mold's a type of.
It is a type of fungi.
Might have to eat their crow
mushrooms. Someone might have to go eat the mold in their pillow.
Mold is a type of fungus and is
Okay.
Disability. Well, I'm glad fungus and is part of the kingdom.
Look,
okay,
PD, I took the path of curiosity, not the path of judgment.
That does not take the sting out of my loss. I appreciate it, and I know I'm not.
Well,
being judged
here. I'm trying not to throw salt in the wound.
Well, you're just using a styptic pencil, so it's burning even more.
ow!
It will heal better.
It will heal better.
Yes, exactly. Anyways, so I got new Casper pillows, and they're memory foam, so they won't get moldy. And you can take the little bag off of it and wash that instead.
You can tell them all your secrets, and they'll never forget.
They're my Willy pillows. I can tell them my secrets and they'll never tell anyone, but they won't ever forget.
Well, until you get a podcast.
In third grade.
Until you have a podcast in which I tell everybody which fake crushes you had because actually you were gay the whole time. Clearly you were just using those as a way to distract people.
It wasn't until the devil corrupted me during puberty that I relinquished my soul, soul. And to the devil, yeah.
Right.
But I got new pillows. And have you noticed there's a lot less background noise? Because I got a new air purifier. And another thing I noticed about my unhealthy living style was that I used to come home and I would be like, it smells weird. It smells like formaldehyde.
That smelly smell.
That only I can smell.
Mr. Anchovies.
Anchovies. Oh my god, that's from the fucking
first episode
premiere of SpongeBob. Yeah, amazing reference. And I was like, it smells like a dentist's office. It smells like just something weird.
And now your
like
dentist has formaldehyde. Isn't that what's used in bodies when they preserve them?
Yeah, it's a preservant, but he also uses it to like when he pulls a tooth, he puts it in that big jar of teeth that he collects.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, my dentist has one of those too. Yeah.
And then he uses
I thought that was Barbicide, like that blue liquid where they put the cones.
Well, my dentist just has a little shaker top, and you just
you know that's for lice, right? You know that's for lice, right?
I thought it was just like a disinfectant.
It is, but I'm saying like one of the reasons you would do that is because they comb someone's hair and they put it in there, and one of the things you would want to not spread is lice.
I learned something today.
I'm purely conjecturing, but I am going to say it like it's a fact.
I bet it's one of those things that's extremely awful for you, but it was invented in 1920 and no one's come up with a better solution because it just works.
It was born in the golden era of inventions, 1875 through 1895. Light bulbs.
Phonograph.
The phonograph. Some better version of a train.
Better version of a camera.
Cameras.
The Taft years. No, wait, Taft was after.
You're thinking of the Taffy years. The years in which Taffy.
They invented the Taffy pulling machine, so you don't have to do it by hand.
Exactly. The Taffy
right
years.
In there.
That was when the American economy went straight up.
Straight up. Unless you lived in the South, in which case you can suck our collective asshole.
Well, the South. Anyways. People don't realize that the South could have tapped into the taffy industry, but the part was they didn't have any teeth, and so it's hard to enjoy taffy when you don't
have teeth.
That's
what taffy is the best for. You just gum it down, like an old person. How they always like seem to have something stuck in their mouth.
Oh
but they
God,
don't.
I hate
like,
that. Yeah. I hate that so much.
That's gonna be us. Give it 70 years.
I'll beat you to it. Let's meet back in 5 and I'll have no teeth left.
Make sure to put it in Barbicide with your dentist.
All right, Petey, we're supposed to be talking about – you were talking about good news. I don't even remember
fucking,
what you
my
were talking
fucking,
about.
Okay, I got a new air purifier because I realized my old air purifier – this is fucking going on so long. I'm so sorry.
This is like 3 stories deep now. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to need to extract you from this story
seriously.
So that we can get back.
Okay, the good news is that time is 1/100th of the time.
Right. In a podcast, time is Time travels different.
So I got a new air purifier, and I thought about it, and I was like, oh my God, I've had that air purifier since I moved to San Francisco when I first moved. And
you never changed the filter?
Changed the filter. And that's what the smell is. It smells like burnt dust and burnt plastic because that filter is in there grinding together, and I've been breathing that in for so long. But our house no longer smells like it at all immediately when I took it out.
Wow. Well, good for you. Making a lot of improvements all at once. And it's all because of that, the inspiration you got from that lady at the go-kart place.
Yeah, who would have known that mean witch who was so awful and should probably be working at the DMV helped me out in the long run. What is your good news, sire?
My good news is that story is over. No, I'm just kidding.
Same girl. It went on way too long.
No, let's see. My good news is coming
you
up.
So much time to think. Don't even.
I don't ever think about it. Here's the thing is I have a very like routine life. Like Quay and I are very like creatures of habit. So like we don't do a lot of new stuff all the time. So I just been enjoying life. And the good news is that life is just enjoyable. And
fuck yeah, dude.
It's great. Let's see.
Are you still looking for a car?
We are not yet. Because this year is expensive because we did buy the house. And also, we are going to the Olympics in August. And so we will need a lot of money for that.
As Quay? You can guess,
I've told you I was this not. multiple times. I've announced it on this podcast.
Games. I thought you were going to the Commonwealth Games or something else.
What am I, Australian?
What'd you go to the South for?
That was the World Games, and that was like 2 years ago.
Okay. That is literally the exact same thing as the Commonwealth Games. It's just better because it's not part
of
Dirty
Dirty England.
No, it's bigger
because Commonwealth is just for British Commonwealth. Australia, Great Britain, New Zealand, and maybe
– Kentucky, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and I can't remember the fifth.
They all participate in the Commonwealth Games?
No, but they're all Commonwealths instead of states.
Well, they were.
No, they are. They're still Commonwealths. The Commonwealth of Virginia.
So that's
Virginia.
So that's the real Confederacy. They've seceded.
No, they're just not called a state. They're just called a Commonwealth. Like it says on their license, it says Commonwealth of
listen,
Virginia.
Listen, BD, you're either American or you're not.
You're either a state or you don't like freedom, okay? Okay, liberals.
We need to get into the episode, PD.
I know. I just today was like shit is falling apart at work, but nobody seemed to give a fuck, and I had a great day, so I'm so much more energetic than I was.
I love
to walk home.
I love it. Did you work in SF today?
Yes, but I have to go into Shit Dick on Tuesday, which I'm not fucking excited about. But
new listeners, Shit Dick refers to Redwood City, California.
Correct.
Contrary to its name, there actually is no wood or anything red in the entire city. It's all made out of blue metal. So I don't know why it's called Redwood, but it should be called Cerulean Aluminum City.
Oh, Cerulean Aluminum.
Cerulean, a word I learned from the Pokemon games.
Oh, true. And I had a professor named Cerulean, and we used to call him Cerulean. Also,
my favorite actor from the movie about Robert Oppenheimer's name is Cerulean Murphy.
Cerulean Murphy. I felt that one coming. Speaking of coming,
you think you can predict my jokes? after more than two decades of being best friends, you think you can predict my jokes?
It's like we're finishing each other's
sandwiches.
Speaking of things that are about Futurama, let's get to the episode.
Speaking of segues, let's get to the episode. So today we covered season 7, episode 2, Indagaba Dalila. Now,
you still can't say it right.
What is it?
Indagaba Dabibi.
I said Indagaba Dalila.
Inagada Dalila.
Okay, so I'm literally like just adding an extra D.
No, you said Indagaba Dalila. It wasn't even close.
I literally have it written down as Gaba. I kept thinking of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh my God. much my mic is falling. This thing is off the rails. This is a runaway train off the rails. Okay. Yes. And then I got a Delilah where basically we see one of our favorite jokes, V-Giney. A large craft that is threatening planets ends up...
It's essentially censoring planets.
Right, by destroying them.
By coating them in black goo that then destroys them.
That then implodes them, yes. And Zap and Leela have to basically save the day. Unbeknownst to the viewer, they are stranded somewhere maybe more familiar than you'd think. Scene one.
And all of Zap's
act one, scene one.
And all of Zap's courageous actions maybe aren't so courageous.
Okay.
New rule. If you're gonna be courageous, at least be courageous.
At least be honestly courageous. Okay, Zap. Which I will say, I do love that there's so many fucking good Zap lines in this.
There really are. This is a great Zap episode.
I can totally begin to see the juxtaposition of the writing on Comedy Central versus on Fox. Because it's a little bit more, I don't want to say gutter, but like definitely more crass and more like sexual jokes that are a little bit more on the nose than like.
But
clever,
they still do
more
the
like
classic
circuitous writing on Fox.
Yeah, they still do the classic Futurama jokes though. Like, well, there was one in here that's like basically a classic setup for a Futurama joke is being like, no one would ever do this thing, and then the very next thing they say is. We're doing this thing. And they do that all the time. And it doesn't really ever get old to me. But like one of them was like the professor is, they're getting off the ship because they're basically trying one last ditch effort to show this ship that the world is worth saving. And so the Planet Express crew minus Leela, they get off and they're like, oh, we're on this like last untouched island that's pure. And so this is our last effort to show that, you know, the world still has purity. And then Hermes goes, I've heard it all. All of the things on my iPod. What was that, Professor? Like, what would you say? And he basically says the same words back to the professor. I did a terrible job of explaining that. I apologize.
I know what you meant. Basically, like, yeah, no one's heard of this. I've heard it all. Which is funny. Also, I wanted to point out in that particular scene that Hermes earbuds have wires on them.
Yeah, because this is made when they're still
the
show.
Yeah, like 2012? No? 2014?
When like iPod headphones were still... Shit, when iPods were still in use. They're not even in use anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no.
I will say, when we had touchscreens and iPods became that... touchscreen version that would just look like a thinner iPhone, you know, around the time of the iPhone 2 or 3. I did not like those iPods.
I got an iPod Touch for Christmas and you were just jealous because you had a Zune.
I actually really liked my
Zune. That you bought with your own money.
Yeah, I worked for that bitch.
From working the fields.
I actually liked my Zune.
I know you love, you would buy a Zune today if you could.
Probably not because I don't need one, but... I mean, Spotify makes all of those things pretty much obsolete.
Yeah, you would have to pay so much money to fill your library on any other device.
Oh my God, 99 cents a song? Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, to be fair, you could buy 10 songs a month. That's 120 songs a year. That's pretty good.
120, that would fit on my iPod Nano.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot, actually, now that I think about it.
It's not when you have to sit down for 2 hours and you realize how little time that really actually takes up.
Yeah, that's true. When you have a flight.
When you realize
like
a studio album these days is not more than 30 minutes, you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, that's very true. But anyways, the episode begins. Basically, it's set into three parts where it's like an old-timey cartoon of Zap and he's – it's put on by like, what is it, Morton's Rocket Wax or something?
It's Bartley Rocket Wax, which is essentially just dick wax.
Yeah.
Because Zap goes, I wax my rocket every day.
Every day. I had that written down. I love that. So that's what I'm talking about. Like they're just like, they make like six or seven references. Like Leela is like trying to escape V-Giney. And she's like, oh, I hope this is the control stick. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's like the fourth dick joke. This is great. So. Basically,
yeah. Did you write this episode, Daniel?
No, because there's zero gay sex. We would have at least two boys banging. Although there was almost an orgy. So.
Yeah, of mostly men and Amy.
We almost got there. Maybe I could have. I could have scabbed. You never know. So basically, we begin with this threat that Zap Brannigan is brought to by Nixon, and we see that this V-giny giant, kind of similar to a Death Star, but it's got a bunch of guns around.
Well, they call it a Death Orb, don't they?
Yeah, Death Orb
or Death Sphere.
Yeah, exactly. Is basically destroying all these planets like incriminating tape, as Nixon says.
Yeah,
and they are basically out of options, and he's like, well, we got to do something very quietly and something that no one will notice, so I'll go work with a crackpot that I never thought I would. And of course, the crackpot is the professor.
He's like, am I crazy now? And then it zooms out and Nixon's like in the room. He's kind of saying it as if he's not in the room, but he's right there.
And so they're basically, the professor comes up with an idea of creating a basically invisible rocket ship, which is great because it goes invisible and then Leela and Zap are still visible, which I
love that. I love that.
I'm like, that's so perfect.
You know what that always makes me think of? Whenever you see those guys on motorcycles with the handlebars that are really high up and their legs are spread out, I like to imagine them with an invisible motorcycle like that. So the idea of them going 50, 60 miles down the highway, but they're like spread eagle, like hands up in the air, feet out.
Looks
like,
so dumb.
I just think that is so funny to me. It's like the least aerodynamic position a human body could be in. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
Imagining them like hitting rocketing down the road is so funny to me.
I also like that when Zap is awakened from his nap and summoned to Nixon's, I forgot to say this, Zap is very surprised by getting woken up and he says, I surrender and I volunteer for treason.
Yeah. Like the biggest coward ever.
Yeah. So, Leela is trying to, take the mission and it's only a rocket for one. Zap decides that he'll go with Leela and Leela has to sit on Zap's lap the entire time.
They make it into the V-Giny death sphere.
Well, before that, Zap goes, or Leela goes, we have liftoff. And Zap goes, oh, roger that.
Stupid.
Yeah, go ahead.
So they get into the death sphere. They do the whole, like, I love, she's like, turning on like holographic targeting system, initiating the force. And then it's like an Alec Guinness impression. He's like,
yeah,
use the force, Leela. Feel the entrance. Next stop on your left. And it's like giving GPS directions, but in like Obi-Wan Kenobi's voice.
Which I'm sure exists somewhere. I'm sure there's some kind of AI that can give you like Obi-Wan Kenobi directions.
Waze for sure has someone doing an Alec Guinness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet.
Because Waze was the one that let you like record your own. And I know some people mm-hmm. were doing it, like impressionists were doing it just to like for shits and gigs.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love that. I'm surprised I don't charge for that, like a cameo of all those things you need to record. But anyway, so they get inside of V-Giny and they are basically trying to destroy it. They realize that there's nothing they can do. So they turn and hightail it out. On their way out, they basically hit the shutter lens door that's closing. And Zap is like, Captain's log, our ship is broken and we're hurtling through space.
Yeah, yeah.
Addendum.
Ah! Whoa, whoa, whoa. Because they're like twirling and spinning. So they crash land on a planet and Leela wakes up and she's trapped under like a big tree branch basically. And so she's like getting Zap to help her and he's being like uncharacteristically chivalrous. And he's like getting her all these things. I love she's like, oh, I'm so thirsty. He's like, I couldn't find water, but these fruit and nut berries probably have the water you need. And I love that he calls them fruit and nut berries.
Nut
and that
berries.
That's no red flags for Leela at this point.
Yeah. So he basically starts taking care of Leela because she's trapped underneath a log. And he does all these very kind and, as Willie said, chivalrous things. And basically, they're all things that would dehydrate someone or make them loopy, kind of. So Leela is basically kind of falling into the trap and the idea that they are Adam and Eve stuck in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, a snake starts talking.
A snake starts talking to her. Then Zap gives her a telescope where she can, with her basically naked eye in the telescope, see Earth get exploded by Vigini. And she basically finds out or figures out that, okay, well, there's no hope. If there's nothing left, it's up to Zap and I to basically
repopulate
the Earth, which is so funny because Zap's like, we'll have beautiful Leela juniors, yes, Zap juniors, and then they will. Yeah, is that really?
Is that how the Bible? Is that really? He realizes that the incest must have occurred after Adam and Eve. He's like, yuck,
yuck.
Is that really what happens?
So all the meantime, the crew back at Planet Express is trying to help and stop the Vigini from destroying it, which we end up learning is two satellites, a
V-chip program
satellite and something Destiny.
It was Flying Destiny. It was like a U.S. Air Force thing. So it was like weaponized, basically. It was like a censorship satellite combined with like a weapon system.
Yeah, they combined so like all the letters move apart and go to V-Gini, which is so childish but also hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how the professor's like, we'll fix everyone immediately. We'll go straight to the source. And they all put on robes with signs that say like,
yeah, like surely people, if we present this in a rational way with facts, like people will trust us. And then they immediately come out with like robes, start with signs that say the end is near. So clearly they look like crackpots.
Yeah. So Zap is ready to consummate the relationship with Leela, getting what he finally wants out of it, what he's been after all these time or all these moments, I guess. I don't know how long we're there, but an apple falls on Leela's head and she starts eating it. And I guess she immediately gets hydrated from the juice or the water in the apple. Yeah.
And she starts to realize, wait a minute, those fruits and nuts you gave me were just as salty as the trail mix that Fry gave me. Exactly. In fact, they were exactly as salty.
Exactly as salty.
And then,
and so
this is the best part of the episode. Zap keeps on getting like, he keeps getting caught in lies. And he's like, he can't say it.
Getting two factors more extreme every single time. It's like, ew, and it goes like by the
it's
end.
So
he's
good.
Like,
so basically, so every turn at which Zap did something chivalrous, he was actually doing something bad.
Extremely selfish.
Really selfish. And then at first it's like, oh, I just thought I wanted you to like me more. But then so she's like, okay, I guess your intentions were good. But then it ends up that his intentions were just that he wanted to have sex with her. So it's like, clearly your intentions are the worst they could be, basically.
It was so good. And like every single time it's like, actually, after I finished off the mini fridge with some beef jerky, Doritos, and pieces of chocolate, I drank an entire case of imported mineral water keep you dehydrated.
Well, before you woke up and I put the tree on top of you, I enjoyed a cigar, which made me thirsty for some brandy. So I went to go looking for the ship. And that's when he like discovers the ship because it's like invisible still. And he hits his crotch on
Wangs his crotch. Yeah. So Leela is like, all right, you're a sack of shit. Like, but there's nothing I can do because the Earth has exploded. And he actually rigged the ship's projector to a cardboard paper towel tube.
He goes, well, I'm actually kind of proud of this one. So he had reprogrammed the ship's holo nav to display the Earth being destroyed by Vigini through this fake telescope made out of a toilet paper roll. And she's like, I thought you said we didn't have any toilet paper.
Oh god. So at this point, Fry comes wandering out of the forest.
Yeah, he's like, this seems like a good place to take a poop.
Take a dump, yeah. And it turns out that the Futurama crew is actually on the same island the entire time trying to do a purity chant and communicate with Vigini. Vigini basically gets to the planet and Zap and Leela's like chaste and pure actions in the Garden of Eden
lead
it to believe that Earth has a chance of surviving, but Leela and Zap have to consummate their love.
Yeah, it's like, consummate your love now.
And Zap's like, oh, well, the guns are making me feel a little inferior.
Yeah, I need some romance. Maybe a vanilla candle or...
Vanilla candle. And Leela's like, all right, come on. I got
let's just get it over with. Yeah.
Pulls him into the bush and starts porking him, which is exactly what he wanted, and then he doesn't get it. So I thought that was, it's still good writing on the
episode. Exactly. It is a good way to turn it also, around on him.
Yeah, it was a little coincidental they were on the same island, but yes, it was. I liked that. So how many V-Ginies would you rate this, Mihoy?
So this does have some good one-liners, and of course it does have some space travel, but I would say, like, compared to the last one, it's not quite – well, last one I gave a 3.5. I think this one is like a 3.25.
Oh, really?
It weirdly takes – well, I don't know, actually. Now that you say that, I'm questioning my judgment.
So let me say what I like about it, and I won't say my rating yet, but I like that, A, there's space travel. There's a lot of really good Zap one-liners because Zap has not been in the last, like, couple seasons. There are the funny little, like, cartoons in between each of the ones I liked. And then we get a lot of, like, cheeky jokes, like – Poopiter and Liftoff. Yeah, I'll Roger that. So I thought it was funny. And the professor saying V-Giny was just also very funny to me. So that's what I like.
I agree with those. I think the thing is, it's not really that funny without Zap. Like, the premise without the Zap parts, it's not a super quality episode, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, that's why Zap's in it.
I know. But, like, normally we have, like, a couple other plots, and we really just have this, like, central plot, and everything is, like,
it's like saying being a billionaire is nothing if you don't have any money. No response.
But normally the show is about the Planet Express crew, is my point.
I know, but this one's about Zap. All right, give your rating.
I'm just saying it's leaning a little bit too heavily on Zap, who is full of one-liners, right? Like, that is the whole point about Zap, is that all he does is one-liners. And yes, they're funny. But, like, the other thing is, I'm trying to put myself back into when I first saw this episode, because all the lying that Zap does is much better when you don't know the conceit.
Yeah,
there.
That's
so. And I do feel like me seeing Zap this 8,000 times, I'm probably used to it. So I think I should rate it a little bit higher in terms of, like, a fresh view, because it does have some good, like, twists in it, I guess.
Yeah. So wait, let's both say our rating at the same time on the count of three.
One, two, three. 3.75.
Four. Okay. I think we're in the same neighborhood.
Okay.
5, 6, 7.
All right. So I gave it a 3.75, and PD gave it a 4.
Gotcha.
Well, yes. I was looking at I was correcting the 7 I'd written
down.
I also
just said 7. 6. Would you like to go first? I will yield the floor to you.
I only have one good. So let me go first, because I only have one.
Binary trivia?
Whose gloves was Zap wearing?
I also had this written down. Would that be Mamie Eisenhower, first woman from 1951 to 1959, or 1953 to 1961?
Yes. I was, like, forgetting what the term first woman was. So you're like, first woman, and I'm like, to do what?
To wear gloves.
Because you meant
Maybe
first lady.
Eisenhower was the first woman to wear
first lady. First lady.
She was the first woman to wear gloves. Unbelievable. Okay, I'll take my 100%. I also wrote that one down, and I was even going to ask you what her first name was for bonus points.
That's not fair, because that's outside of the show.
Okay, you asked me bands who play songs.
I don't do that anymore.
I don't know that. Mom, I haven't done that in, like, a week.
I haven't done that in, like, a season.
Okay. My question is, who is Zap's adversary who he fights? You have the hiccups?
I have the hiccups. Perfect timing to get the hiccups on a podcast.
Right. Oh, truth. We'll make it quick then. Who is Zap's adversary in the first interlude?
Chop Chop.
Wait, what is his title? he technically has a title.
Oh,
Think about dynasties.
Like Emperor Chop Chop or something?
Yes, his name's Emperor Chop Chop.
I did write down the racism of it because it's like these cartoons are shown in like a black and white format. Like it's like some sort of 1950s sort of like Family Robinson adventure type of thing.
They were typically like serialized. Shown before.
Yeah.
They're typically shown before movies. Like,
and it has like the exact type of racism. Which yeah, is exactly. Like a guy in stereotypically Emperor, like chop, chop. Chinese clothing being referred to as Emperor Chop Chop.
So fucking awful. Bender's pet died. What was it? Bender only has like two lines in this episode.
I know. Too. I like don't even. When does he mention? Is this at the beginning?
It occurs when they're about to, like, lift off at the rocket. They're at the launch pad, and Bender's like – someone says something to Bender, and he's like, I haven't been the same since blank died.
Oh, since – he died. Yeah, he had a gerbil?
Mm-mm.
A hamster.
I'll give you one more guess.
A guinea pig.
God damn it. Those are the only three in the king – in the phylum or whatever of rodentia,
that you keep at home. Well, because I was, I did remember it because we were talking about like the universal experience of anytime people we knew growing up had guinea pigs, one would always eat the other.
Yeah, yes, 100%.
We talked about that recently on the podcast, I think.
Lastly, Nixon talks about the planet exploding like blank. I said it earlier.
Oh, you have to like some tapes.
But you have to give me the exact amount.
The amount of tapes?
I looked it up. It's actually the exact amount of tape that was in Watergate. Like, I was like, oh, shit.
I don't know the exact amount of tape. I don't know.
He was like, hey, they destroyed that planet like 18 minutes of incriminating tape.
They destroyed that tape like 18 minutes of incriminating tape. I love the Nixon stuff.
Oh, it's so good.
Mistakes were made. That's the definition of not taking accountability. It's like, yes. Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made.
I made a huge mistake.
Oh, my gosh. Well, folks, as always, you can find
I thought you said you had four. That was only three.
I did, and then you got Mamie Eisenhower.
Oh. So does that mean I get a point?
No, you don't get it. No.
I'd rather have 3 out of 4 than 2 out of 3.
No.
Shoot. I'm trying to do like a.
If I got the question wrong, that's what we should do. Is if we both have the same question and one of us gets this wrong, the other person gets a point.
No.
But that wouldn't make any sense because we both have the question. Never mind.
I'm not doing that. I was trying to do a Tim Robinson thing. I'm like, have you watched the show yet? You've watched season 3, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's plenty of that then. He's like, she's like voting him off the show, off of the Bachelor show or whatever, Bachelorette.
All he wanted to do was get on the zip line.
What?
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
No.
I invented this not because I had anything to not because I had to leave my other job due to an embarrassing hot dog accident. Anyway, this hot dog vacuum.
So good. And he won an Emmy for it. Fuck yeah.
I'm so glad he did. I didn't realize he did. Recently he got the Emmy?
I think
oh, that's right, because I saw him think Sam Robinson. I mean,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, it was great.
What's Sam's name? The other guy from Detroiters. They're real life best friends. Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson.
Richard Sampson. Dick Sampson. Dick Sammy. Dick Sandwich. I really want to take a Rorschach test. Because where my mind just at? Sam Richardson.
Everything is just penises. That's not at all a surprise to me.
That's a crooked penis.
That's a
vagina that looks like
two crooked penises. Yeah, something tells me maybe you need to diversify what you're looking at on a regular basis.
It's sweatpants season, what can I say?
Yeah, otherwise it would be short season and you'd still be...
Beach season, yeah, true. It'll be butts come the summer when it's short season. Yeah. Okay, well, this little Christian's about to piddle her pantaloon.
Okay.
So
to take you out in the slowest possible way.
Fucking
thank you guys for listening. Next week we'll cover season 7, episode 3, Attack of the Killer App. And as always, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod. You can find us on Spotify. Google Podcasts is apparently ending, so that's not going to be a thing.
R.I.P.
So check Spotify and Apple. I guess those are the only ones remaining.
Yeah, well, sucks to suck, dummies.
Oh, but our home is Spotify, so we bet on the right horse in this race.
True. I also listen to Apple Podcasts now that Stitcher's toast, but yes. And as always, we'll love you forever. We'll love you for always. As long as you're listening, our friend you'll be. Take us out.
Whalers.
Choice. Whalers on the moon.
We're whalers on the moon. We carry a harpoon. Mother and the whale, so we tell tall tales and sing a whaling tune.
Bye.
Bye.